Our reading is going to be taken from John 6, so if you have your Bibles, turn to them please, and we're going to be starting at verse 25. But before then, I just want to put it into context, this reading, because as an old wise pastor used to tell me, a word out of context is a pretext. So let's get it right. This story takes off from when Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. You may remember they followed him around the Sea of Galilee, and he stood on a hill and these people followed him. 5,000 men, we were told. So by the time you add on women and children, there could well be 15, 20,000. Lots of people. Now, I suppose that's going to be similar in probably, what, is Evesham got 20,000 people in it? Well, imagine all those people on Dover's Hill listening to, not me preaching, but somebody worth listening to preaching. And by the middle of the afternoon, they were getting pretty hungry. And obviously, the disciples brought that to the attention of Jesus. And then Andrew went and found this little boy with the fishes and the loaves. You may remember the story. And not only did they feed those thousands upon the thousands of people, but there were 12 baskets of leftovers. There were two miracles that day. One of multiplication of food, and the other one that the little boy hadn't had his lunch, hadn't eaten it before the afternoon. But you may remember that after that, Jesus sent the disciples away. He went on the hill to pray. And the disciples went across the Sea of Galilee in their boat and got caught by the storm. And Jesus walked on the water to them. This reading we pick up just after that, and this is where we are. John 6, verse 25 onwards. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe." Now let's carry on from verse 47. "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever." And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, if we look very closely at our reading this morning, we will see three misconceptions that these people, hungry people, embraced, and they're going to pop up on the screen. The first misconception is they forgot that God is the source of all that is good in life. When they found Jesus and asked for another free meal, they bragged that Moses had given the Hebrew people bread in the wilderness from heaven every day. And Jesus corrected them, saying that the source of the bread was God, not Moses. These hungry Hebrews had forgotten the foundational truth that all we have in this life is traceable back either to the earth or mankind, and God created them both. God is the source of all good things. You know, it can be very easy to buy into this misconception today. I'll put the first point. And forget what God gives us. Our income level makes it possible for us to fill up our food cupboards, our fridges, our freezers, perhaps put cars on the drive or in the garage, roof over the heads. And we all too easily forget the basic fact that everything we have and everything we are simply would not be if it were not for God. And as John says in John 1, verses 1 to 3, in the beginning was the Word. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Or as James put it, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow nor turning. We must never make the mistake of letting our hunger to get more blind us to the basic truths that all that we have, all our blessings, are from God. There's a story told of a farmer who visited a large city and was eating in a restaurant. He ordered the food, and before he ate, he prayed, obviously a prayer of thanks before eating. At the next table were a bunch of hoodies. Sorry if you're a hoodie, this isn't intended. But one of the hoodie boys turned around and said to him, "Oi, farmer boy, where you come from, does everyone pray before they eat?" And the farmer wisely replied, "Everybody except the pigs." Like this wise farmer, we must remember to give God credit for every blessing of life. And there are countless blessings. If you think you're having a hard time sometimes, just sit and think about the good things that you have and give thanks for them. And the second falsehood these people had brought into the day, that day, was their belief that powerful miracles would satisfy their hunger. When in fact, miracles tend to only make people more hungry or even more, but even more miracles. It's like you and me when we attend those fireworks displays on bonfire night. We forget one huge starburst as soon as the light fades and crane our necks to look for the next spectacular sight. This is exactly what happened here. Jesus had just fed these 15, 20,000 people with the contents of a little boy's lunchbox. And the next day, some of the same people were hungry for more signs of his power. Now, the Gospels record that whenever Jesus did a miracle, it was for one of two reasons. He did so either out of compassion for a hurting person or to teach an important spiritual principle, to proclaim a message about himself or his kingdom. Well, when it came to these particular Galileans, apparently the message Jesus conveyed by multiplying the bread and the fish fell on deaf ears. Instead of seeking to apply his teachings to their own lives, they responded by asking for more displays of his power before they would believe what he had to say. Well, why didn't Jesus just do what they asked and perform another miracle right then and there to convince them that he was the Son of God, the bread of life? I think it's because he knew that if he would do, it would do no good for these people to be too focused on the gift and not see the giver. They had just witnessed one of Jesus' greatest acts of power. And if seeing a miracle that first time didn't lead them to believe who he was, it's doubtful that a second would either. Maybe this is one of the reasons that with all the power of God in his hands, Jesus was so ambivalent when it came to miracles. He knew that they attracted crowds, but rarely encouraged repentance or long-term faithfulness. Miracles won't satisfy our hunger for God. Only a personal relationship with the bread of life will. Jesus didn't come to use his hands miraculously making bread. Rather, he came so those hands would receive the executioner's nails, and so his body could be broken for the salvation of the world. Those Galileans that day needed a miracle, all right, but they were seeking the wrong kind. They needed the inner, less obvious, but more powerful miracle that comes from repenting of our sin and claiming Jesus as Lord and Saviour. For all in that decision, we experience the miracle of a saved soul and a forgiven heart. And this leads to the third truth these hungry people missed that day. They forgot that the essence of human life is spiritual, not physical. Like so many people today, they were existing on the animal level. They were striving to satisfy only their physical desires. And as a result, they had fat bodies but famished souls. You see, we are not mere animals. We are unique beings on this planet. The only creatures in all of God's creation that has been made in his image. Now, it doesn't mean that God looks like you or I. It's not the physical image that we were made after, but his spiritual image. God is spirit, and unlike the rocks or trees or animals or insects, he has breathed a life, a spirit, into each of us. We are the only beings on the planet with souls, and those souls are eternal. So one thing that separates us from the other creatures of the world is that food doesn't satisfy us all the time. You can be absolutely stuffed full with the biggest banquet and yet still be hungry for God. And I know this is true because you cannot go anywhere on earth today without finding people hungry for something more than a full belly. I know people who are trying to search for spiritual things, but have counted the church out as that spiritual provider, which is sad. They go looking for spiritual things in other places, other beliefs, other cults. There is a restlessness in all of us that craves something more substantial than what we have here. As Jesus told Satan when he tempted our Lord to make physical bread with which to satisfy his hunger in the desert. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You and I were designed to require more than just physical nourishment. We were created with a need for spiritual nourishment as well. And this sustenance is only found in Jesus, the bread of life. Now, these days, we refer to bread as a staple food. Some forms of bread is part of each of our meals. When we go to Tesco's, Morrison's, Sainsbury's, Lidl, Aldi, wherever you shop, the two things that you normally get every week is bread and milk. But in Jesus' day, bread was even more central to the people's daily menu. You see, there wasn't a great deal of variety in the foods of that region. In fact, for many people in Palestine, bread was often the main course, or the only course, in their meal. Without bread, they would have starved to death. It was necessary, essential for the continuation of physical life. So by referring to himself as the bread of life, Jesus was saying that he is essential in our diet. He is the one whom men and women cannot do without. But these hungry Galileans missed this truth. And today people make the same mistake. They look in all the wrong places to satisfy that inner hunger they have, and they can't seem to fulfill that hunger by what they're searching for. That day on the shores of Galilee, Jesus was trying to get those people to understand that there are more important hungers in life, and these can only be satisfied in a relationship with him. There is the hunger for truth, and not trying to steal someone's sermon here, but Jesus is the truth, the answer to all of life's questions. There is the hunger for life, and Jesus alone can give men life, abundant, eternal life. There is the hunger for love, and Jesus can give us that love that outlasts even death. Because the pleasures of this world are temporary and fading. So only a relationship with Jesus can satisfy those immortal longings that we have and that insatiable hunger of the human heart and soul. As Saint Augustine once prayed, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless without you." Only in Jesus do we find food for our souls. Food so satisfying that he says in verse 35, "Those who come to him will never go hungry and never be thirsty." He's talking in the spiritual sense. By the way, the Greek here is very emphatic. And so Jesus actually says, "Whoever comes to me and no one else will never be hungry or thirsty." Jesus also used a double negative to drive this point home, which literally says that when we come to him, we will not never be hungry or thirsty again. He alone can satisfy our spiritual hunger, for he alone is the bread of life. Before his crucifixion, Jesus provided us with a powerful object lesson to help us remember and proclaim this truth, that all our hungers are satisfied in relationship to him. And this morning we observe this object lesson known as the Lord's Supper. And as we come to partake of this special meal, I invite all who believe in that Jesus as Lord and Saviour to join. If you are a visitor, if you are his, this is yours. When Jesus revealed himself as the one and only bread of life that day, many of his followers left. In verse 60, they said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Verse 66 says, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." What about you? Can you accept this hard teaching that Jesus is the only way to satisfy your hunger for an abundant life? Will you turn and walk away from Jesus? Or will you embrace him as the living Lord and Saviour? You know, the greatest miracle God does, the highest demonstration of his power, is seen when through his blood shed on the cross, he forgives our sin, no matter what we've done, no matter who we are, no matter where we came from. He forgives us, saves us, and redeems us. He waits to perform that miracle in each of us every day and this morning. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. It reminds us that you are the true food for each one of us. We get hungry just after a meal within a few hours. But you promised us, Lord, that with you, we will never go hungry. Help us to remember, Lord, that each day we need to take of your bread. Help us to start our day with prayers to you and reading your word. May we feed upon that word, Lord. For we know breakfast is the most important meal of the day. So is getting with you. So Lord, when we wake in the morning, give us that burning desire, that burning hunger to turn to you and your word. And may we feed upon it. That as we go out about our business in the day, that you would be there sustaining us, giving us your words, giving us your direction, and using us for your glory. And when we feel tired or vulnerable, Lord, help us to once again pick up your word and feed upon it, to pray to you, to come close to you. Lord, we declare this morning that you are the bread of life that gives us eternal life. Help us to live a life that shows it. Amen.